You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports. We're back in the building early, on regular time, Tuesday. I'm Wally. I'm here, my boy Will T. What's good?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. You know what? I was just at the Wizards game, MLK Day. They showed out. Portland's defense is horrible. We'll get into that, too. They're horrible. The defense is the worst.
Yeah, the Portland team is really, for a team that shocked everyone last year and was able to attain the 5 seed in the West, they've really come back to earth this season.
Yeah, so, it's something about playing small ball. It catches up to you eventually. But again, we'll talk about that, man. But everything was good, man. We got to celebrate a great man yesterday.
Absolutely.
And it's a blessing now that we have so many resources to kind of celebrate the guy with the African American museum and obviously the MLK monument and whatnot. So I mean Martin Luther King Jr. folks. So yeah.
Nah, what's actually sad is that some places still don't consider this a federal holiday and they make people work.
Yeah, I know.
On Monday, which is
it's disrespectful.
It's very disrespectful. Yeah. It's extremely disrespectful. But also, I do want to give a shout out to TNT. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the pregame show.
I didn't.
Yesterday, it was an awesome pregame show. They really went into depth about MLK and Black history and the movement for equal civil rights. So it was a great pregame show yesterday. Shout out to TNT.
Yeah, anytime you know. We don't forget people who laid the groundwork for us or whatnot. I think it's a blessing, and I'm so happy that any TNT or any outlet out there that can give Dr. King the credit he deserves. But yeah, well, you know how we do this.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here are the topics. Where do you rank John Wall among NBA point guards? We'll talk about that this season.
This should be an interesting debate.
This season. Not next year. Talking about not other years prior.
We're talking about his play this season.
This season at 8:20, we're going to talk about the Redskins defensive coordinator search. Is Rob Ryan a good option?
Never ending search.
I know, right? At 8:30, we're going to talk about the NFL playoffs, including the Dallas Cowboys losing to the Green Bay Packers. Beautiful.
That made you happy.
It sure did. And at 8:40, we're going to talk about the
point. Even though you didn't pick.
I didn't. I didn't pick. I picked Dallas. That's true. I picked Dallas. Don't try to, like, I see what you're doing right now.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just stating the obvious.
Yes, I see what you're doing. At 8:40, we're going to talk about the poor play of the Georgetown Hoyas. Is JT3, John Thompson III, on the hot seat? And at 8:50, we're going to talk about last night's Cleveland Cavaliers Golden State Warriors game. The Golden State Warriors beat up on the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to talk about
but it's not a rivalry.
We're going to talk about is it that
says serious? LeBron.
I know LeBron's a joke with that one, but I want to know, is it that serious though? You know, a regular season game, is it that serious? But first, like I mentioned prior, the Washington Wizards beat the Portland Trailblazers, on MLK Day, 120-101. John Wall and Bradley Beal, combined for 49 points. The Trailblazers guard CJ McCollum talked about the play of the Wizards backcourt. Here you go.
What are some of the challenges guarding their backcourt?
They're aggressive. Wall does a good job of setting the table for everybody. We're a lot of floppy, a lot of transition. He's pushing the tempo. He's aggressive in transition for his shot as well. They're very good. Very good team.
And you heard guard CJ McCollum. He had 12 points a game against the Wizards. Didn't have his best game. He had a streak of scoring 20. It was stopped against the Washington Wizards yesterday. First off, right now, John Wall's averaging 23 points and 10 assists per game. Where do you rank him amongst the hierarchy of point guards in this season in the NBA?
This season, he is definitely, well, because he was a shooting guard, but he plays primarily point guard now.
Oh, okay.
James Harden. Yeah, I have to include him in this.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I have to include him in my list. But I'm going with – we basing off this season's
this
play.
This season, not off
I'm
of,
going with number four. I'm going with number four.
I think that's a fair spot.
No, I can't even go four. I'm going to have to go three.
Ooh, who, so you have
I'm going with Russell Westbrook,
Harden, then Wall.
James Harden, then John Wall.
I agree. And you know what? A lot of people are going to put out, they're going to throw out there like a Kyrie Irving, right? Because they're always compared to a certain extent. Kyrie Irving and John Wall are compared to each other. But you look at the stats. I think Kyrie averages about 23 points per game. John Wall averages about that 23. John Wall averages 10 assists a game. Kyrie's about a shade over 5 assists a game. And we're talking about the point guard. And I know, granted, that LeBron James typically plays the one for this team, but Kyrie Irving is supposed to be a point guard. And I've always stated, I guess I'm going off the past, that when John Wall was, when Kyrie Irving was by himself, you saw how far the Cavaliers got. A John Wall-led team has been to the postseason.
It's always been of my belief that when you compare John Wall and you compare Kyrie Irving, you aren't exactly comparing apples to apples. Mm-hmm. To me, John Wall is a point guard who plays the position in a traditional sense. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving is a more of a scoring guard.
Totally agree.
Opposed mm-hmm. to a point guard who you traditionally think sets up players around him. And who looks to distribute the ball and set up those around him and run the offense, opposed to Kyrie, who is a guy who creates offense.
Totally agree. Yeah, I agree. I think Kyrie Irving is a scoring point guard. Or he's a scoring guard. I don't even want to put the term point guard, because when you think of a point guard, you think of a guy who sets up the offense, right? Mm-hmm. And gets players involved. He's a scoring guard. A la an Allen Iverson or whatnot. By stature, you would say he's a point guard, but by heart and build, he's a two guard. So when I look at, you know, Kyrie, he's a two, but you know, John Wall, to me, I'm with you. Right now, this season is the third best point guard. Like, because I agree, if you're going to put James Harden is up there in assists, he is playing the one. He is playing the one. That's what he's doing right now. You have Russell Westbrook, who is the MVP right now at this point in time.
So, I mean, you'll get some debate on people who
with James Harden. I'm actually on the side of James Harden, but I'm going with what everybody else is stating. Yes. They pretty much have Russell Westbrook as the MVP at this moment. But I think there's nobody really other than those two that are playing point guard at a high level like John Wall.
Yeah, when I say playing, I'm talking about all facets of the game.
Yes.
You know, from dishing and setting up the offense, to scoring, to defense, to, you know, even leadership.
Yeah, and closing.
Being the closer.
Yes.
You know, I would say when it comes to closing, I would put him probably number four. After Harden, Westbrook, and Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, this season. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas. Are we talking closing. About this season?
Yeah.
So, John Wall, to me, I don't know why. He probably won't be voted the starter in the All-Star game because of the fans. I'm not going to say we get it wrong all the time, but I think people have certain biases and don't look at a player's contribution and effect on their team. Mm-hmm. So, but to me, John Wall is at worst, is the third best point guard. His play this year, his production this year, has been the third best point guard in the NBA.
And also, if you want to call in to the question, where would you rank John Wall? Call in. The number is 240-478-3140. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. And also, the question is posted on our Facebook page. So search Urban Sports Scene on Facebook. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, and my boy Will T. Ray's out. MIA on vacay. But to me, John Wall, he's showing improvement. Like we always used to talk about John Wall's jump shot. Now that's improved. His mid range J is better. His three ball he shoots about 32%, but it just seems more. It just seems better. His overall understanding of the game has improved, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he still does. The one thing that still drives me crazy is all of those jump passes that he makes.
Yeah,
that's still one of the facets of his game that drives me crazy. But you know. And he also can work on a consistent jump shot.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he's playing a position at an extremely high level. You're definitely seeing John Wall coming into his prime.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe slowly reaching his peak.
Yeah.
I still think he has a lot of growing to do, and he can get better.
Well, yeah. And to your point, I think that turnovers are always going to be a big to date, turnovers has been an issue for John Wall, and he needs to limit that. But I just feel like when you're playing the position and you're watching the game for what it is, what he does for this team, how he gets everybody involved, it's a credit to him and how he's playing this game this season. Look at, for instance, Otto Porter is averaging 14 points a game. If you watch the game, if you watch any Wizards game, you know that John Wall puts Otto Porter in the best spots to score.
Yeah, I mean, John Wall, his ability to slash to drive and slash to the basket creates opportunities and creates driving lane. He creates passing lanes for the three-point shooters such as Bradley Beal, such as Otto Porter, and such as Jason Smith coming off the bench.
Yeah. You know. You mentioned Jason Smith.
Yeah.
He got a reference.
You know, so his to me, his play has greatly impacted his team and has improved their standing within the Eastern Conference.
So where would you say, where would you have this Wizards team right now? Where would you have, how far would you have them going if they make it to the postseason?
Well, it's all dependent upon seeding, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're currently, what, fifth?
Yeah, currently fifth.
Yeah, if you get to number one, if they were to drop to eight, you know, that would be first round, they'd be gone if they had to play Cleveland. Toronto.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Toronto, that's a series that would pose a well, no, I don't think they have the physical bodies up front anymore to be able to compete Toronto. With Toronto. Nah.
You're believing in Kyle Lowry too much. I don't.
No, it's not even Kyle Lowry. Okay. It's the big bodies that they could throw up to you. Uh-huh. They could throw up. They can throw against the Wizards in the front court.
Yeah.
You know. What's his name? Valon. I forgot. I'm not going
to. The center.
Then you also have Damari Carroll. Then you also have what's the rookie, the backup rookie from Brazil? He's really good.
Oh, I understand about the athletic kid.
Yeah, who if he gets time, he could be a beast. Then you have they're gonna have Jared Sullinger coming off of injury in a little bit, and then was it Powell the other rookie? Mm. I forgot his name. Mm. But so that, I think they have more. They're able better depth and physical. They'll be able to play more physical on the block than the Wizards will be able to counter.
I just like I'm not a big fan of Toronto. I just feel like their playoff resume speaks volumes. I think they just don't show up at times. But I mean, I know what you're talking about. Like that's a problem for the Wizards. Physicality is a problem for the Wizards. I like what Markieff Morris brings to the table in terms of physicality. He needs to be consistent as a threat. An offensive threat for the team. But in terms of physicality, I like what he brings to the table. I think Marcin Gortat needs to toughen up and man up. At times, he lets, you know, anybody manhandle him. Jahlil Okafor, who isn't the toughest dude in the world, was getting boards on him left and right while he was in the game when they played the Sixers and struggled in the first half on Saturday. So when I look at this team, I agree with you to that extent. Like, the bigs have to toughen up. And I'm not going to put Markieff Morris in it because I feel like he does play tough. But Gortat needs to toughen up to help this team get further on in the if they make it to the postseason. But are there any favorable matchups when you look at the Eastern Conference, if they did match up, say, you know what, this team, they can beat this team and get past the first round?
What teams do I think they can get past?
Yeah. They make it to the postseason. Say like a
Boston. I don't think they can beat Boston.
I don't know, Boston's tough.
I think they could beat Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I think Milwaukee over the long haul, that will pose a tough matchup for them just because Milwaukee's length and their ability to switch on pick and rolls. But yeah, outside of those teams, you know, Cleveland, Toronto, Boston, and Milwaukee, I think they're fair game against anyone else in the East.
Oh, how about the improved player Bradley Beal?
Well, one, I'm shocked that he's healthy enough to be able to play most of the games that he's played thus far. Two, he's really earning his keep.
Yeah,
he signed a massive contract in the off season. I don't like to be in another man's pocket or say what another man deserves or he doesn't deserve, but Bradley Beal is starting to ascend and become, you know, one of the better shooting guards, and that in itself is helping this team, and it's also making Bradley Beal and John Wall, one of the better backcourts in the NBA this season.
Oh, I agree. I think that and I can eat crow with the best of them and just keep it real and keep it 100. Like, Bradley Beal has been one of the better one of the biggest surprises, I think, for the Wizards this whole season. I know people are going to mention Otto Porter, but the level he's playing at, to me, he's a better shooter. He's even a better shooter than he was prior, and he's always been a decent shooter. His drive game is better. His handle is better. He's creating better for himself. So I think Bradley Beal did a lot. You could tell when someone does a lot of work in the offseason and they show it off. You can say that, you can tell that, you know, by looking at Bradley Beal, that he's a hard worker because he's definitely improved.
Absolutely. He didn't just rest on his laurels and get paid and decide, well, excuse me, I've made it. I've signed a max deal. I can stop working. Mm-hmm. I've accomplished my dream. No, he's gone out and he's become a better ball player. Mm-hmm. Which I think bode well for this team in the long haul.
Totally agree. All right, man. Rob Ryan, as the Redskins defensive coordinator? Oh, that makes no sense. We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Not have a David Wood.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Stevie Wonder, giving that tribute to Martin Luther King Jr., man. A great man, you know, left us way too short, man. He had great things to do. But anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Team, my man Will T, myself, Wally. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene, no S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. All right, like I mentioned before the break, the Redskins did interview Rob Ryan, brother of Rex Ryan. Would that be a good hire for this team?
Well, I think historically you look at Rob Ryan defenses and you say that they haven't produced at the level that you expect for a Ryan-led defense, right? Mm-hmm. You think about his father, Buddy Ryan, what he did in Philadelphia with that defense. Then you think about Rex, what he did with the Jets, mm-hmm. with the defense. And then you think Rob, and then you think a couple of failed stops, you mm-hmm. know, New Orleans, Cleveland. He was in
Cleveland.
Yeah, New Orleans and Cleveland to mm-hmm. be exact. And you say his defenses haven't produced the results that you would think from a Ryan led defense. And I also and I'll, you know, add this caveat to it. He hasn't necessarily had the best talent in the world. Mm-hmm. And if he comes to Washington, this defense as constructed now definitely doesn't have the best talent. So if he were to get the job, I wouldn't expect him to come in and miraculously change his defense to a top 10 defense, because I think there's too many. For one, you don't have the players, and for two, I think there's too many complexities in his defense.
Best defense he's probably had to be in Oakland in 2006, where they, in terms of yardage, they were third best. And after that, he's been middle of the pack. He had one good stint in New Orleans. I believe his first year in New Orleans, he had the fourth best defense in terms of yardage. And then in Dallas in 2012, they were 10th in terms of total yardage for the defense. Let me take that back. Not 10th, I'm sorry. 19th. So he's been a middle of the pack type of guy. I'm with that. Go to your point, Will T. He hasn't been special. He hasn't been like Rex Ryan. When you look at a Rex Ryan defense, though, like you said, Rex Ryan has had some talented guys, but he's dominant when he has talented guys. Usually, I have to believe in his tenure in Buffalo, because I do think he had some good talent in Buffalo, but they just didn't ball like you would think a Rex Ryan defense would. But Rob Ryan, if you look at him for what it is, he hasn't really been that Ryan, like a Buddy Ryan or a Rex Ryan.
No, I totally agree with you. So him coming here, I think if you get a guy with that type of name, the expectation from the fan base will be, even though his record has shown us that he hasn't produced top five or even top 10 defenses, the expectation would be, well, we got Rob Ryan. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't the defense gone from 28th or 30th to 12th or top 10? Or maybe even top five, you know. So I think I think the fan base and the franchise has to have realistic expectations for whoever comes in. To be honest with you, I actually think that the next defensive coordinator is already in the building, Greg Minuski. Yeah, I actually think that he's probably, in my opinion, is probably going to be the next defensive coordinator. You know, Jay Gruden has shown that he hires guys that he's comfortable with, that he trusts. Mm-hmm. Greg Minuski, he has a relationship with. Mm-hmm. He's already in that building. And also, he's probably the only guy out of the veteran defensive coordinators who take that job, just because you simply realistically looking at it, Jay Gruden has what? One or two more years under contract with Washington. Mm-hmm. They haven't shown the propensity to extend this contract, for one. Two, this team doesn't have the talent on defense. Mm-hmm. So who really would want to, if you're a veteran defensive coordinator, who really wants to come in and put themselves in a position where you potentially can fail?
You know, I don't, I just feel like the whatever coordinator you bring in here, for what the talent you have now, I think we have to go off of that. The talent you have now, you have to be a guy who can work with less and have shown that in the past, right? That's why I was a big fan of Wade Phillips. That's why I was a big fan of a Greg Williams, because these are individuals that they have examples in their careers when they've had defenses that were bad prior to their coming in. When people would say they don't have any talent, people would say they were a piss poor defense. And most of these teams didn't bring in anybody special. They got that same personnel to ball. And I believe they need that type of defensive coordinator.
I think for the most part, you need someone, A, who can teach.
Yes, yes.
Who can teach defense, and B, who can communicate. Mm-hmm. I think there are too many times, just watching Washington games last year, you saw breakdowns in communication on that back four. Mm-hmm. You know, guys not holding to their assignments, you know, not communicating changes in coverage, mm-hmm. not getting the plays in from the sideline. So I think, one, you need a guy who's a great teacher, mm-hmm. and two, you need a guy who can communicate, and three, you need a guy who can make something out of nothing.
Hey, call in. The question is, would Rob Ryan be a good hire for the Washington Redskins? The
number, man, you know, ain't nobody calling in.
478-3140. I missed a couple calls before, bro. People called, I just missed calls. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. The question is also on our Facebook page. Just hit us up at the Urban Sports Scene, our Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Again, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, and my boy, Will T. I just feel like, you know, Rob, I mean, you're right, though. I think they need a teacher. They definitely need a teacher. And also, they need somebody who won't be easy on them in terms of, like, training camp or whatnot. They need to hit. I don't feel like they do enough hitting in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you need a guy who's an enforcer. Enforcer who has a dictator-like personality. Mm-hmm. Mike Pettit definitely gives you that vibe. Mm-hmm. He gives you that feel. But I don't think that necessarily may work with this coaching staff, because Jay Gruden seems like a guy who likes to just – who's really laid back. And he appreciates that, having that dynamic and that culture within his football program.
It's interesting. Obviously, you know, picking up a Joe Barry, who's funny. Joe Barry's on the staff of Sean McVay.
Yeah, he's the linebackers coach.
Yeah, what you did in San assistant, Diego?
Assistant head coach. Was he assistant head coach?
Is he assistant head coach? I know, mm-hmm. he's linebackers coach. I mean, I know that which is a good job for him. I think that's a decent job for him. Linebackers coach. He did that in San Diego. You don't ask him to run your defense, period.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say he can't ascend to the position of being defensive coordinator. I just think that as of now, we've seen what he's done in Detroit and what he's done here in Washington. I think he needs to work on his craft a little bit more, and maybe he'll come back and he'll be a better defensive coordinator if he gets the opportunity, man, down the road.
It's simple. It's either you got it or you don't, man. It's either you got it or you don't. Unfortunately, he don't got it. He don't have the juice now, buddy.
If you say so, man. I mean, I think anybody can get it over time.
Get what over time? Be a good coach?
Yeah. I think anyone can learn if you really put the time into it. You can learn the skills that are naturally that you need. I mean, not naturally, but you can learn the skill set that's required for you to be a good coach. Look at Bill Belichick. Didn't get it his first time in Cleveland.
That's true. He coached under a great guy, Bill Parcells.
Yeah, that's true.
He taught him a lot.
That's true.
You know what? You sound like an after-school special.
I don't sound like an after-school. I'm just being real, man. I mean, the NFL is – I mean, professional sports in general is filled with coaches who, at their first time
– You can do it.
I'm just a positive guy, man.
I feel you. Believe in yourself, Joe Barry. All love, man. You can do it, bro. But you know what? Who I believe in? I believe in Aaron Rodgers. And how about them Cowboys? We're going to talk about the NFL playoffs after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
I seen your girl post a bill, so I hit her in the deal.
All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Look, man, Will T and I are talking right now. You listen to Urban Sports Team. I'm Wally. I'm here with my boy Will T. Like I said, Will T and I are talking right now about Eric Spoelstra. I'm on the side of saying Eric Spoelstra is one of the worst coaches in basketball history. And Will T is like, he's a good coach.
I didn't say he was a good coach. I didn't say I think he's an adequate coach. You're portraying him as being terrible, and you don't win two championships being terrible. I'm sorry, you just don't.
I'm exaggerating. He's not the worst coach ever. But he's not a good coach. Because give me LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. And I feel like, I don't think I'm a great coach. I feel like I'm winning the championship. And I'm having groupies because I'm young enough. I'm having groupies.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair to say.
Because I'm having groupies?
he's a terrible coach because their history has shown that there have been teams that have had superstar lineups and haven't won championships.
That's true. But he's won a championship with superstar lineups.
He has.
And he.
I mean, which in itself could be hard.
It could be. I'd rather have talent rather than not have superstar talent.
I mean, look at Rudy Tomjanovich when he was a coach of the Lakers.
He had Kobe.
Yeah, but he didn't win a championship.
So they had was Kobe. Kobe wasn't. They had no team. Kobe is no. It doesn't make anybody better. Kobe doesn't make anybody better. He just scores.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like Rudy, because Tomjanovich, when he had
Look at Mike Brown. He was the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron.
Yeah, it's only one person. But you're right, though. I see your point, though. LeBron, that's the greatness of LeBron, though, more than his coaching patterns or methods. But that's neither here nor there. All right, NFL playoffs, man. I'm gonna start off with the first. It wasn't the first game, but it was definitely the best game.
It's been the best game of the playoffs thus far.
Yeah, exactly. The Dallas Cowboys losing to the Packers, 34-31.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that game, bro?
First of all, there was one guy on this radio airwave.
There it goes. It always
comes. Who predicted it? Look, I'm just saying. It's just one guy who predicted it. And I'm not going to go into a full analysis of why I predicted it and why I foresaw the future and knew that Green Bay was going to be Dallas. But it all comes, you know, simple Aaron Rodgers. I look at strength versus strength.
Yeah.
The Dallas run game.
I'm not a gloating right now.
No, I'm not. The Dallas run game versus the Green Bay run defense. Mm-hmm. That's strength on strength.
Yeah.
Then I look at Green Bay's passing defense, which is their weakness, versus Dallas passing offense, which, you know, isn't a weakness, but it's not the best thing they do.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I thought that Dom Capers, who's the master of the 3-4 in the zone blitz and creating turnovers, would be able to put his players in a position to stop the run on the way to the quarterback. And also he would do enough to confuse Dak Prescott.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that he did enough to confuse Dak Prescott, but that plus Aaron Rodgers was enough for a victory on the road.
I mean, definitely was. I didn't watch all of the game, to be honest with you. I was listening to the radio. Then I was getting ready to play some basketball. I saw the last play.
The kick?
No.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
I saw the third. It was beautiful, man. Cause I was with a Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we was playing. We were hooping. He didn't want us. The dude. We were playing 5-on-5. The dude didn't want 4-on-4. Sorry, he was playing 4-on-4. The dude didn't want to start playing until, you know, whatever happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 3rd and 20. You know, people think it's overtime. You know, they're not gonna get this. 3rd and 20. You know what I mean? And I'm on my phone refreshing, and we're watching on someone else's phone, but it's taking too long to kind of load up. So I'm watching it on NFL.com on my phone, and it's reloading and whatnot. And you see, 32-yard line. Then I see the play for itself and Cook catching the ball on the sideline. I'm looking at the Cowboy fan like, oh yeah, it's over. You know. His head is down. He's praying on a block. He's praying. He's not praying.
Listen, I think some of you guys, I'm not going to say guys, but people who are sports fanatics, take it a little bit too far, man. Take it a little bit too far.
I'm on that side of taking it too far. I punched a hole in the wall, so it does go far for me.
I was actually going to send you a video of this guy that I saw on the internet. He's a he's a Cowboys fan, mm-hmm. and he punched a flat screen TV. He ran into the flat screen TV and started punching it
after the Packers game.
Yeah,
I'm not ruining a flat screen TV. That's one thing I won't do. I punched a hole in the wall in college. I was young. That's different.
Would you vandalize your own property now?
No. It depends what it is, though. If it's like that busted PS, that PS3 that I don't play anymore, yeah, I can vandalize that.
Really?
Yeah, it's nothing to me anymore.
I could I couldn't vandalize any of my stuff or anyone else's. I've been out with him, who was a loyal Washington fan, yeah. And we were at a bar one time, and he literally threw his glass on the ground.
Are you serious?
Yes. He was that pissed off.
Wait, that's not his glass.
No, it's not. It's the bar's glass. He threw his glass on the ground.
I wouldn't do that. I would damage my own property.
That's taking it too far.
I wouldn't do that, though. That I wouldn't do. But yeah, the Packers winning that game, it was sweet. I think, to be honest with you, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, their rookies played well. Dak played great. I mean, he threw for 302 yards, three touchdowns. He led this team in a great comeback. Ezekiel Elliott, 125 yards. They played well. Those rookies played well, and people were waiting for them to fail. You know, having the moment of the playoffs, and they showed out.
They did. So, like Dak Prescott said, it's a building block. I really have to take, you know, this season for them is a building block, and if those two guys can stay healthy and they can make additions to that roster, NFC East, watch out.
Yeah, but I'm not a believer. I like Dak. So, you know, personally, I don't have an issue with Dak. But I will say this, you know, being a guy who's seen the side of, you know, having that guy as a young guy, you're like, oh, we're gonna build around him. He's gonna be the guy for years to come. Things can happen. Things can change on a dime. And not even being injuries, things can change on a dime.
True, but I think the difference between him and the guy you're referring to, Robert Griffin, the third, is that he's a guy who can actually make plays from the pocket.
True. That is true.
He's a guy that has to get outside of the hash marks to make plays.
But to be fair, even in 2012, I'm going back, but in the pocket, he was just an accurate passer.
He was an accurate passer, but it was because it was the system that was ran.
I got you.
So his accuracy was dictated on the system. It was systemic.
I got you.
Offense.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so let's go to the Steelers Chiefs game. Steelers won 18-16. I felt bad for Alex Smith in this game. I just felt like his players did not play for him. They just let him.
Once they put it at the 12-yard line for that 2-point conversion, I knew that season was over.
Yeah, me too.
I just knew it was over from then on out.
It's but everybody was dropping passes. I mean, he didn't play a bad game. I thought he played a good game.
He did. I will say this. Andy Reid, to me, as a former diehard Eagles fan, I know how Kansas City Chiefs fans are feeling because Andy Reid got ultra-conservative with his play calling in the second half. And then the clock management. Those are two things that Andy Reid
struggled with. Yeah, he's always struggled with that. I will say this, though. I was on this show and I said something about Mike Tomlin not being, you know, the greatest coach or a great coach or whatever, saying it was Coward's team. This season has proved to me that he's a great coach.
You just finally realized?
No,
that?
Because he's doing it with his own talent. I mean, this is his roster. This is what – it's not Dick LeBeau. This is a Mike Tomlin team. It's a Mike Tomlin team.
It is.
And he brought a young guy. These are young guys. Shazier, the linebacker who's fast as hell, like, to be honest with you. And these are all his guys. Le'Veon Bell are his guys. These are
Bud
his guys.
Dupree.
These are his guys, and they're playing well. So I will say this, Terry Bradshaw needs to shut the hell up because it is what it is. You have to now admit that this guy's a great coach because this is his talent. There's no excuse. This is his talent. This is his team. This is his imprint.
I think what Terry Bradshaw said was very disrespectful.
Yeah.
Calling the guy a cheerleader.
That was very
a head coach. It takes a lot to be a head coach in the NFL. Mm-hmm. calling him a cheerleader was very disrespectful and very dismissive of what Mike Tomlin has done thus far in his 10 years in Pittsburgh. And two, he's come in, he's been accountable, he's put a stamp on his team, and this team plays to his personality. So I would like, I don't think they'll win on Sunday in New England, but I'm pulling for them.
I will say this, them and the Packers are the two best teams playing right. No, no, I take that back. Because I think a lot, we're going to talk about this team. Let's go into it right now. The Falcons beating the Seahawks 36-20. The Falcons get no respect in this aspect. Everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the hottest quarterback, right, in football. Matt Ryan has been consistently hot since week one.
Matt Ryan's having a season for the ages. Probably his best season. Probably the season that may lead to him being the MVP. Of the NFL. But a lot of that comes from the design of that offense, what Kyle Shanahan is doing, and also the running game. So Matt Ryan is going to continue to get the treatment that he's getting because historically Matt Ryan hasn't showed up in the big games. So when or if Matt Ryan is able to beat Green Bay Packers on Sunday, then I think you'll start to hear Matt Ryan's names coming out of people's mouths as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm just saying, when I hear that, it's just that you play the Seattle Seahawks team, which is still a good defense. Now, they're not the same defense without Earl Thomas. Okay.
I was about to say that defense isn't the same without Earl Thomas.
But again, it's still a physical defense, and he sliced that defense apart, and he played at a high level. If he was playing like a scared quarterback, they're losing that game. But he was aggressive. He was accurate. He was leading that team.
Yeah.
With a gimpy Julio Jones.
Yeah. Matt Ryan had a hell of a game. I'll eat crow because I predicted.
I was thinking about that.
No, I mean, I hold myself accountable. But I
don't.
Because I predicted Seattle would win against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But. And they pulled it out. If Ray was here, he would be happy.
He'd be excited.
But I tell him, he has one more game before he can truly get excited.
He would probably try to make the whole show about the Atlanta Falcons because this is his time right now.
Absolutely, and he should enjoy it.
You do the Dirty Bird. He should enjoy it. You know what I mean? Jamal Anderson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is his time. But yeah, I just think this team is just as strong as any team in the playoffs. But they're three strong. So back to my point. There are three strong teams right now in the postseason playing high level of football. The Steelers, the Packers, and the Falcons. And the Steelers to me, and I would go one up and say the Steelers, because of what they looked defensively prior, this team right now looks like the best because they weren't playing defense like this towards the first half of the season. And now they're playing defense like the Pittsburgh Steelers of old.
Yeah,
and that's what's impressive about this team. Patriots defeated the Texans 34-16. Texans played better than I thought.
They did. The Texans, to me, all things considered, truly looked like a team that was a quarterback away from winning that game.
Yeah,
if they actually had a competent quarterback who can make plays. They looked like they would have won that game to me because that defense was consistently getting pressure on Tom Brady.
He acts like such a little bitch sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. Like, complain
so
about.
So we cussing on the air?
That's not a cuss word, though. People say that on the radio.
Okay.
That's what I've learned. See, I can say that.
Okay.
Now, filth, that's a whole difference. That's a whole different thing. But nah, he does, though. He complains all the time. Clowney hit me. Oh my god. It's a late hit. He tried to take my career. It's like stop complaining to the referees. And then when he does it, and this is what annoys me, when Tom Brady does it, no one jumps on the floor. He will cuss out a referee, try to like embarrass a referee, and you see it on national TV, but no one says anything. Look at Tom's a great competitor. But let that be somebody else. Oh, he's a baby. He whines.
He's
immature. That's used all the time. But when Tom Brady does it, he's a competitor.
He's fiery.
He's fiery.
He's a competitor.
But when
he just wants to win.
Yeah, but when someone else does something like that, Oh, he complains too much.
Cam Newton does it?
Yo, he's immature. Stop complaining.
I mean, people always want to shape the narrative to the way that, to their perspective.
Uh-huh.
So I don't, you know, I don't really engage in those arguments over.
But you see it though, right?
No, you see it. I mean, you're not exaggerating. It's definitely, you see it.
Uh-huh.
You see, he believes that he should get the preferential treatment of a star quarterback and get all of the calls, but
it is what it is. On the flip side, you see somebody who retired and Peyton Manning, you barely seen him complain about anything. He get hit, that's it. You don't hear him complain. You don't hear him cussing the refs out. If I got hit, blah blah blah, it goes about his business. But Tom Brady stays complaining about, you know, about a lot of things. But to your point though, Osweiler was like what, 3 interceptions? He threw for 197. You're right. They had a capable quarterback because the Texans did the job defensively. Tom Brady went 18 for 38. We're talking about an accurate passer, 18 for 38.
Yeah,
they did their job, man. They hit him and they rattled him. Unfortunately, they didn't have the quarterback to do it. So that's good. Let's preview the NFC AFC title games. Steelers versus Patriots. Was it Gillette Stadium?
Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I want to call Foxborough so bad. Gillette Stadium. Who do you have winning this game? You said I guess you did say the Patriots. You said you don't see the Steelers winning.
Well, I'm starting to rethink that. And here's why.
Yeah.
I look back on the Patriots season, and I don't see where they were tested.
They weren't tested.
They haven't been tested. I don't see where they played top level competition. Now they lost. Did they lose to Miami? Yeah, I believe they lost to Miami.
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
No, they did not lose to Miami. I don't think so. No, they didn't lose to Miami. They didn't. Not with Brady.
Not with Brady.
If they lost, it was not with Brady. I'll have to pull up the schedule.
Yeah, you pull up the schedule. So, and we know that Bill Belichick loves to take away what you do best, right?
Yeah.
But this team does a couple of things. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. But even if you double or triple Antonio Brown, you know, you have Eli Rogers. You still have James Jones, the tight end. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
The Steelers?
I'm going with the Steelers.
I'm going to go with the Steelers myself. I think it's because I'm not a big New England fan, to be honest with you. I feel like this. I just like Tom Brady. I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I just like Tom Brady.
Why? What has Tom Terrific ever done to you?
He's just a baby. He complains too much for me. I just don't like it. He complains way too much. Way, way too much. And, yeah, they haven't beat him this year. Miami lost both games to the Patriots. Okay. But I do I you know what? Nah. I like to go with the hot team. I'm a big fan of hot teams. The Steelers played well against a good Kansas City Chiefs team. That's a really good team. The Patriots struggled against the Houston Texans team that to me was one dimensional. And I'm speaking of the running game, that's all they can really bring to the table, even with a great wide receiver in Hopkins. I'm going to go with the Steelers because I just feel like they're playing for something. The Steelers are just playing for something more. And, you know, and there's no Gronk. And Tom Brady, we've seen it. Tom Brady without Gronk, it ain't the same dude.
Well, but they're able to compensate with that with Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis is a
which is good.
Dynamic. He's a dynamic
scat
player.
Back. He's a good. He's dynamic scat back. But still, he ain't Gronk.
True. He's not Gronk. So, both of us had Steelers?
Both of us Steelers.
Okay.
Both of us Steelers. Packers, Falcons.
I'm going to go Packers.
I'm going to go with the Falcons. And
here's why. Here's why I'm going with the Packers. Matt Ryan historically has not had his best games when you have a defense that gives him one look, but is able to back out and give him a totally different to actually do something different post snap. Dom Capers, master of his own blitz, master of disguising blitzes. So I'm for those reasons I'm going with the Packers, and I think A-Rod makes enough plays, just enough plays to get them over the hump.
I'm gonna go with I'm going to Falcons. The reason I'm going with the Falcons, I think Vic Beasley is going to create havoc and then get to Aaron Rodgers. I just think that Packers secondary has no answer for the weapons that Matt Ryan has, and even you know with Kyle's run option, I mean zone read stuff with the Freeman and Coleman. I just think they're too many weapons for this Packers defense. I think the Falcons can outscore the Packers offense. I just feel like it's going to be an offensive game. Okay. I think Matt Ryan and the running game will be too much. They are a dual threat, and then you do have a prolific passer in Matt Ryan, which is a little different from what you saw in Dallas. Though, I mean, again, Dak had a great game, but there's so much he has to go. There's so much that he has that Aaron Rodgers has to compete with. This is a high potent offense. Combined with an improving defense, to be honest with you, too.
So you have Falcons versus Steelers in the Super Bowl. I have Packers versus Steelers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so it's going to be a tough one.
There's a great chance that we'll both be wrong.
I know. We both may be wrong. That's the truth. So real quick, before we go to break, who would you take right now, Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan right now?
Do you have to ask that question?
You're going to take Aaron Rodgers, obviously, right?
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
Right now, I'm taking Matt Ryan.
Just like, what was it, week 11 or 13 when they had the poll in Green Bay? Who would you rather take, Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
That's a real joke, though. That's not real life.
It was a joke when they posted it.
Yeah.
But still, a lot of people in Green Bay said that they would take, because of the way he was playing at the time, they would have took Kirk Cousins.
Well, they're funny.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're spoiled. That's the problem.
Spoiled. That's what it is, very much that.
Yeah. All right. The Georgetown Hornets got killed by Providence last night. Is Coach Thompson the third on the hot seat? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Y'all trying to make it next month. That's soon up there.
Yellow beat, holler at me.
And two hands on high. Like I told JC when I shot. Like you seen him twirl and he drops. And we keep them to my block. And my dick keep it on him, hit him drop. And we do be wildin', he's some holly. Tone only get dizzy with him. Try to punch down and you can get his. Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
Shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up,
beat up on my tripod.
I've been selling just like the fifth grade.
Alright, you're listening to the Urban Sports and I'm wild. I'm here, my boy Will T. Ray Jeezy's out. Also, man, like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Alright, at Urban Sports Team. Follow us, son. Follow us, people. Alright, I mentioned before the break, we're going to talk about Coach Thompson. Also, we're going to skip our last segment, which we're going to talk about Cleveland. In Golden State. We can do that later. We'll do that another time.
We'll talk about that in June when it happens in the NBA Finals.
I like that. That's even better. And we won't be going hard in the paint. But we'll do that some other time. Doesn't really matter. All right, Coach Thompson. The Hoyas lost to the Providence Friars 74-56. Providence was 2-4 before that game in Big East play. Overall, they were 13-7. The Hoyas are 10-9, and overall, right now, are 1-5 in the Big East. Do you think Georgetown head coach John Thompson III is on the hot seat?
No, I absolutely do not think so. You know why?
Why?
Because the Thompsons are an institution in D.C., and they are Georgetown basketball. As long as he wants to coach there, he will continue to coach there.
Is Alonzo Mourning on this thing?
No.
Is Rafer Edmonds walking through this door? Is Coach Thompson III gonna prove himself? No. His butt's on the hot seat.
No. Listen, they would never fire John Thompson.
Look, if I'm John Thompson Jr., Big John, I'm like fire my son because my son ain't doing it. You gotta do things on your morals on what you bring to the game for real as a coach. And he's failing. He's been atrocious. He's Miak bad.
That's a tad strong. Miak bad, that's a tad strong.
Miak bad, bro. He's Miak bad. I mean, and what I mean by that is, when you look at the Hoyas, and we talk about this, in, for instance, like we make fun of Redskins, their defense, right? They have no talent on their defense to be a productive defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
The talent isn't there. When you watch this Hoyas team, they got talent. It's not 1-5 talent. It's talent. They shouldn't be getting blown out by Providence at the Verizon Center. Providence isn't a good team. This team has bigs who can post. They have bigs who can pick and pop. They have good scores out the guard slot. They have super seniors in Pryor, who is like 25. So basically, he's a developed young man, and they're going 1-5 in the Big East, which isn't that strong. Other than really Nova.
Yeah, that's true.
It's ridiculous.
It is. I mean, they fallen below expectations with a relatively weak Big East this year. This has been a team, you know, under John Thompson that historically has had talent, but has failed to either A, make it to the NCAA tournament, or B, has failed to go far further in the NCAA tournament than they have in the past. So I understand why some people would say there's cause for getting rid of JT3, but the reality is he's a Thompson. This is Georgetown basketball. His father made Georgetown basketball into what it is.
That's a shame that is the truth. But it's a shame that Georgetown has to be punished for having.
They aren't being punished.
They are being punished.
They aren't being punished.
For having a great
time. I mean, granted, he hasn't brought in, you know, the top tier talent into the program.
Yeah.
But he's done a relatively decent job of recruiting in this area.
Oh, I think he's done a great job recruiting. That's not the issue. I actually think that you compare him to prior coaches like Craig Asherick, who was here. He's brought in better talent, to be honest with you. I do not deny that at all. In terms of a full roster, he's brought in better talent. My issue is with his X's and O's. That's my issue. It's nothing to do with his recruiting. I like his recruiting. I think his recruiting has been good, but in terms of him coaching on certain nights and what he's doing, it is not effective to me, and that is the issue. Again, you're listening to Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, my boy Will T, Ray Jeezy's out. Coach Thompson needs to either. And the funny thing about it is he's tried to bring in a more high pressure style of playing defense, and it still hasn't worked. He's not even coaching that up. If I'm the Georgetown Hoyas, hire Brass, the athletic director. I'm talking to Shaka Smart, who's struggling in Texas, and I'm bringing him back. I'm bringing him down here to DC. That's what I'm doing. Shaka.
You think Shaka Smart would be the answer?
I love Shaka Smart. He would definitely be the answer. Compared to a Coach Thompson, yes. With this talent, it's similar to what he used to have in VCU. To be honest with you, versatile guys who can move. Who can move laterally, press in terms of either bigs or whatnot, and even the wings. The Hoyas wings are athletic enough to trap and do all that stuff. So yeah, I would love to have Shaka come here and coach this team.
Well,
he would be the answer.
I don't think he'd be the answer. I don't think he would be the answer, but you know, we're all entitled to our opinion. I do think the rubber is starting to meet the road, and you do have to ask the question for this to be continue to be a viable program going forward and be a national powerhouse.
Yeah.
No, does JT3 need to go? But he's not going anywhere.
We are Georgetown.
I hear you. We aren't, because we didn't go to Georgetown. I mean, we're fans.
We didn't go to Georgetown. You're right. I didn't go to Georgetown. But I did. I was African. I thought I can get into Georgetown just by being African.
And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up the show.
Hey, y'all know. Thanks for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We really appreciate you all. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages.
You did.
Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.